This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Let me ask you a question, because you're a smart guy. You know a couple of things, right?
No, I did get into Harvard. I mean, yeah.
There you go. Yep. So, what happens? What is taking place 2 weeks from Thursday?
The draft.
Are you a smart guy?
It's the draft, Daniel.
You excited about that?
I'm very excited.
You should be excited about that. So, you know, you're this close to the draft. You might as well start diving deep into a little of these mocks and what's happening, the latest, the greatest. Now, is this a Mel vehicle, right, RJ? It's not like a tag team that they do on occasion.
Right. This I thought it might have been. No, this is a straight Mel two-run mock.
This is a Mel Kiper Jr., Mel Kiper Jr. He's got a two-round mock. 2 weeks till the draft, two-round mock. Might as well, right? Quarterback, 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 quarterback. That's the name of the game.
Yeah.
Okay, first few guys, he actually has the first four off the board as quarterbacks, including Will Levis, who to me is an undraftable player.
And tell me why, because he puts mayonnaise in his coffee?
You answered your own question.
Because he eats bananas with the peel on it.
Either or. Take your pick. Like, for instance, RJ right now is destroying a banana in the control room.
Yeah, but that's not just any banana.
A day-old banana.
No, that's not just a day-old banana. That's the plug-and-play banana. That is straight off, fresh off 60, what, ninth, RJ? Beautiful bananas, plug-and-play bananas. That is the Dave Rothenberg now every single day he comes into the studio, like Johnny Appleseed.
Has I'm great a bag. With vendors.
Has a bag.
That's a great Johnny Appleseed drink, by the way.
I'm no pumpkin!
And he always comes in like Santa Claus with his like large bag that is unnecessary, like kind of like slung over his back. It's like you're walking two blocks.
And jingles it so you can hear him coming.
So what does he do? He hits up a fruit stand and he brings his idea of bringing gifts is bringing bananas.
Well, this is welcome saying. Aboard.
This isn't just a fruit stand. This is like a fruit emporium.
I was going to use that. What a great word today, RJ.
Two blocks away. I mean, I kid you not. I parked and I was walking last week one day, and he had so much fruit set up. He was blocking the entire. And this is a New York City sidewalk. This isn't like a suburban sidewalk. He's blocking the whole sidewalk because he's setting up for the day. That's how much fruit we're talking about.
So
let's go.
So essentially, though, with the banana, I'm just picturing RJ eating the banana with the skin on it and everything, which is disgusting. And
no,
that's what Will Levis does. No,
yeah,
he wouldn't
RJ
do, would
do that.
Of course not, because he's civilized.
He's a pro.
He's not an animal. So the fact that Will Levis does that, puts mayonnaise in the coffee, forget it, he's done. But Mel thinks that, you know what, he's going to be one of the first four guys off the board here, and it's going to be quarterback. Which, look, the question is this, and I know that we're not going to break the trend at all, but given the fact that there have been more misses than hits, I think that's fair to say, right? I'm not telling tales out of school. With the quarterback position in the draft, there have been way more misses than hits over the years. I can't believe that there's still teams that feel the need to continue to roll the dice that high, especially in the draft, because, God forbid, if you don't have a quarterback, there's no way you're going to win a football game.
Yeah, but I don't even think it's just a quarterback. It's having the quarterback, having someone that can go toe-to-toe with Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen or Justin Herbert. Like, you're looking for that guy.
But the problem is like, not all of these guys can be the quarterback. I mean, when was the last time... It was the year probably, what, with Herbert, Burrow, so it was 2020, right? 2020.
Yeah, but even that. I mean,
where you had like
then,
multiple guys in the
right,
first round.
But even then, Miami had the chance to take Herbert, and they decided they wanted to go with Tua.
Right.
Which might have been an ownership decision. But so, I mean, one of the points that Mel makes is if this were to happen, which I don't know if it happens where the first four picks are all quarterbacks, it would be the first time in history. And there were only three other times where quarterbacks have gone with the first three picks in the draft. So this would be this would be history if top four picks were all quarterbacks.
That was the Plunkett Pastorini draft, correct?
In 71, mm-hmm. 99, mm-hmm. and 2021.
Right, in 2021.
Yeah.
How'd that work out so far? With
well, listen, it's risky,
class?
Man. Hey, listen, it's risky.
But well, everybody wants teams... 2004 all over again, and 1983, for example.
No, everyone wants, or everyone thinks they're smart. I mean, everyone thinks they're the smartest guy in the room, too, which is part of the problem, is they want that transcendent talent. They want the next guy. And they think that, you know, whoever they pick is under their tutelage with their coaching staff, they'll be that guy.
Problem is, you better be. I mean, look, it goes without saying, but you better be right, because if you're not, you know, you get yourself into a situation like we've seen with a couple of our teams here, especially
but
the
what
Jets.
If you are though?
Well, if you are, then you got it made in the shade. Well, you got it made for at least the next 4 or 5 years until you got to pay the guy.
Right, but GM has it like, listen, coach could screw it up. I mean, the coach in LA is trying to screw it up with Herbert, and he might. But
don't GM even get me started on that. What a disaster!
But listen, GM that drafts him, you draft that guy, kick your feet up until you have to pay him, and then your job gets hard again.
All right. So if you fast forward a little bit further down the round in Mel's mock, he got the Jets there at 13, and he's keeping the pick there because we still expect them to have that pick. Joe Douglas is not trading the first-round pick for Aaron Rodgers whenever the hell that thing gets finished.
No, it's not happening, no.
He has Broderick Jones, the tackle from Georgia, going to the Jets. So he's going all in on the offensive line there, which, look, it makes sense. And right now, if you're asking me 2 weeks from the draft which way the Jets are going to be leaning with that first-round pick, you got to figure it's either going to be O-line or D-line because they're a little bit thin on the interior of the defensive line. I don't think that you're ever going to say no to bringing in another edge rusher if potentially, if a guy is sitting there you like. I think those are probably one of the two avenues, O-line, D-line, if you're the Jets.
Yeah, well, it feels like, I mean, just with players that they've signed, players that they've been interested in, right? I mean, it feels like as far as D-line is concerned, they're more likely to go with a veteran player at that spot than drafting him with that pick. I feel like it's going to be offensive line. Unless for some reason Jalen Carter sitting there at 13.
Hopefully they get a car for Jalen Carter.
Listen, we'll get him a driver. I'll drive him.
Well, look, Joe Douglas, he likes his offensive lineman. And look, you have to think you must really like if I'm the Jets and I have a guy sitting there on the offensive line or, you know, one of these tackles or whoever it is, I'm taking him unless I have him really, really high on my draft board. Meaning, like, this is a player that not just in 2023, whether it was next year, whether it was last year, whenever it was, he's still somebody that would have graded out extremely high regardless of the other tackles in the class. Because you have to look at it moving forward. All right, if Dwayne Brown and Mekhi Becton, let's say, are your tackles this year, and we're just speculating, everything works out well.
AVT can play tackle, though, too. He's shown you that.
He could as well, but yep. I think they prefer him at guard, of course.
Right, of course.
Dwayne Brown you only got for one more year.
Yep.
And then he's probably going to run off into the sunset, had a great career. Mekhi Becton you might only have for one more year. Right? I mean, they got until May 1st to decide whether or not they're picking up his fifth-year option. And they may still not elect to do that, given that by May 1st, you don't even know still if he's going to hold up yet for the season. I mean, the season is still months and months away. That being said, uncertainties with both tackle positions probably makes a hell of a lot more sense if the Jets are going to take a tackle with that first pick.
Right. That's absolutely what they should do. I mean, the only thing, and again, this is, you never know how the season goes with injuries and everything else, but when you look at the defensive side of the ball, you look at the additions on the offensive side of the ball, and assuming Aaron Rodgers is going to get done whenever he gets done, the only thing that could derail this season is the inability to protect Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
That would be it.
Well, RJ showed up, gave us a great stat last week. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if I said it on the air, because RJ, I don't want to slight him, of course. He's just doing tremendous work providing us with the information. Aaron Rodgers, this was from Rich Cimini, right? Last week we had that when Aaron Rodgers under pressure. Under pressure versus not under pressure, kind of night and day. But you could say that about a lot of quarterbacks. But at this stage of his career, 39 years of age, you know, he's still got the giddy up a little bit, but maybe not to the extent that he did when he was a little bit younger. You want to keep him upright. You want to give him time to see the field and to be able to give the ball to what we would like to think is a nice collection of playmakers.
Yeah. Again, I mean, that's the reason why you go out and you go out and get Lazard, you go out and get Hardman. Right? I mean, you know, everyone's expecting Garrett Wilson to just, I mean, as good as he was in the first year, that was with, I mean, can you even say average quarterback play? No, I mean, probably, I mean, below average quarterback play, he's still offensive rookie of the year. So, I mean, who knows what his ceiling could be with someone like Aaron Rodgers. But you still have to give Aaron Rodgers the time to do what he does best, yeah, which is distribute the football.
Over the last 3 years, he was 21st in QBR, 25th in completion percentage, he being Rodgers, and 27th in first down percentage when pressured. When not pressured, he was second in QBR, fourth in completion percentage, and fourth in first down percentage.
There you have it. And as the Jets exemplified last year, unfortunately, and really the last couple of seasons, you can never have too much depth on the offensive line.
Never.
Because injuries are going to strike.
Never.
Right?
Never. It's like starting pitching in baseball.
100%. You don't want to get stuck with Domingo Germán on a Monday.
God, you're just killing Domingo Germán today.
Well, he pitched the wrong day of the week.
Oh, my goodness.
If his name was Lunes Germán, he would have been okay last night. God. Right, Ray? Thank you.
This guy is a savage. Savage! Kind of like it.
What are you looking at me for?
Why does this man have so much energy? RJ, I don't understand. I want him studied.
He woke up before his alarm.
Yeah, woke up before the alarm.
I got to tell you.
In bed by 11:30. I think I was in bed maybe 11, 11:30. Watch, I forgot what was on one of the games I was...
Porn?
No. What are you talking about?
You got no kids. Why? What else would you be watching?
I think it was West Coast baseball, actually.
All right. Same thing.
In bed by 11:30, I was up 3:54.
Some people look at the Dodgers that way. Yeah, right.
That's true.
That's how Don looks at West Coast hockey. Loves it.
Sharks, ducks.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Nancy,
most teams
better
aren't doing too well this year.
I'll tell you what, Nancy better hope the anniversary doesn't fall on a Duck-Sharks game night.
I spent some good time with Don yesterday.
Yeah, you're just mingling with everybody yesterday.
He was pretty upbeat about a lot of things he said, right?
But to your point, Rick, you walk in. Especially anyone that lives around here understands this. You ever meet people that are just too happy for no reason?
Yes, all the time.
Dan, he walks in because it's almost like doing a weekend in prison, like waking up at this time, right?
Do they still have those, by the way?
Weekends, I don't know, but
it makes it sound like they're retreats, like the darkness retreat.
I mean, we're all here because we love the show, we love each other, we love our audience, we love doing this.
Yeah.
But some people, when they do fill in, we've seen some people come in, you fill in for Dave, you fill in for Rick, and you can tell those are the people that look at it like a prison sentence. Like, listen, I like you guys. The whole waking up like 3, 4, or 5 in the morning thing, that's not for me. And I get that. So Dan got out. He did his week and he got out. He's free. But he comes in again and you would think he'd be like, you know what? I don't know. I don't really feel like waking up. He the first thing I see him, he's making his coffee. I woke up before my alarm. This is great. I even paid for parking. No big deal.
Those are facts.
You're so happy.
And just spitting hot takes all over the place in between sips of coffee.
Well, you know what I think it is, too?
I'm glad we didn't get Odell. Scherzer's done. Da-da-da-da.
Well, so much for the behind-the-scenes talk.
This is North Dakota. This is New York.
We did the whole week, right? You get acclimated to the schedule. Your body's on the routine, the clock, all those things. Even Saturday, I had to wake up a little bit earlier. Not 4 o'clock in the morning, but a little bit earlier to do the Saturday show. And really only had the 1-2 days in between. So my body, I don't think, has gotten adjusted back to old me yet. So that's why I think I beat the alarm, and I'm good. I probably might be waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning tomorrow, too, just for you know what.
By the way, you know what Dan did yesterday? He went back and mocked the place that wouldn't give us breakfast. He went back there to that same restaurant yesterday and dined.
I missed this.
You didn't.
To send a message,
I missed this.
Hey, what'd you have, though? Just go have lunch?
Lunch, yeah.
You went back at proper lunchtime.
Did you ask for breakfast, though?
No, did not. Walked in 12, so an hour after they were serving lunch. And Ray, they took us to a part of the restaurant, which I didn't even know existed. Like, they were walking me, like, through the kitchen, through this. Like, they have a nice back room. Whole friggin' thing. I didn't even know that they had it.
They weren't going to let you get away this time.
No. It was a nice little
sparkling water, some vodka.
No, they didn't. No public drunkenness. No, none whatsoever. But it was good. It was a great meal. In, out. Tremendous. And I was talking to RJ actually on the phone.
You need vodka.
Right. I was talking to RJ on the phone too, like before I entered the premises. He was all on board, fully on board with it.
Did you go by yourself?
No, met somebody for lunch.
He's a big time. He's a big lunch guy. Like me for lunch guy.
He's an only lunch guy.
Literally just came into the city to meet somebody for lunch.
Did you really?
Yeah.
You couldn't.
That's big time.
If you told me you were gonna buy me lunch, no chance. You're getting me into the city for lunch ever.
He's a social guy. Well, we know with you, though.
What do you mean?
We have to line it up weeks,
no.
months.
Yeah, because we wanted you to come for the lunch last week.
I don't
week.
Care if you lined it up a year in advance. If it was, hey, you're on Long Island, come meet us in the city for lunch. No.
But what if you were in the city?
Yeah, then for sure.
Because last week you didn't want any part of it,
though. Of course I did. I had a doctor's appointment. What do you want to do?
I think the doctor would have accommodated
lunch. To go limp to the place that you guys don't want to have breakfast, so I got to go limp to some other place and watch it? No.
Would you have wanted to have breakfast at that time?
Yes.
Nah, you don't.
What do you mean, no? It's 10 o'clock in the morning.
Doctor would not be happy with what you're doing.
I think
the doctor,
RJ, would have accommodated. He would have moved some things around.
I mean, what's even more to the doctor? I mean, we've ignored the doctor's medical advice to this point, so we could play men's league hockey.
No, I wore the boot.
You know what I mean?
Where
you know,
is it? How long did he tell you to wear
a brace on it?
How long did he tell you to wear
a boot? I have a terrific brace on this thing.
Dodging it. Doctor says wear the boot for 3 weeks or whatever. Dr. Rick says the hell with your recommendation. I'm going to do what I want.
He wore it for 3 days.
He wore it for 3 days.
More than that. It was over a week.
You're like Happy Gilmore with
Easter Sunday, boot or no boot?
Yes, boot. It's a cumbersome boot. It's not a. It's not a very. I mean, it's a lot.
It's a boot. It's not. Made,
it's a lot.
It's a boot.
I want a smaller boot.
You're like Happy Gilmore when the kid's like, "Hey, Mister, you got to wear a helmet." You're like, "Don't worry about it. You're just getting hit with softballs." That's you right now. Getting hit with hockey pucks in men's league hockey.
Men's league hockey is 364 days away. I got to be ready.
Yeah, you're just taking slappers off the ankle, like with a broken.
You realize
foot.
A smaller boot kind of defeats the purpose of the boot,
taking
right?
Fastballs off the chest.
Right. I'm like Ryan Lingard. Hit me right in the face. I'm back for the shootout.
By the way, Ray Santiago got so much TV time yesterday when Ryan Lindgren took a puck to the face and hobbled off the ice.
I was just trying to get out of the way.
No, Ray was there basically the first to check on him because he's a man of means at MSG.
I was very concerned.
That's why.
That guy is a warrior.
Came right
though.
Back out 2 minutes.
And by the
later,
way,
though.
Throw him in the shootout. How about that?
By the way, with the lunch yesterday,
yep.
Tremendous parking spot. Tremendous.
Did you take a picture of it?
No.
Why?
Didn't have to.
What do you mean? You like the Ann Leibovitz of parking spots?
Didn't have to, but
photos.
I did. I used the parking app though.
What did I say
to you, RJ? I said parking app, game changer.
Oh, he comes to the city now. He's gonna wake up at 4 a.m., drive to the city, get some bananas, park,
and take a picture of it.
Wait for lunch to open at 11:30, then go home.
And just to say that I did it. That's a full day.
You imagine someone hacks his phone and like, oh, I hope he finds some nude pictures. It's all parking spots.
It's all parking pictures
of the car.
Let me tell you something.
Here I am on parallel the parking. Side.
Parallel parking yesterday. One shot. Like textbook. Like they should film like school documentaries on how to parallel park.
I'm troubled that you're proud of that.
Why?
How often do you parallel park?
I don't think enough people take pride in their parking. In this city with the animals that drive in this city and the way they just leave cars? No.
That's fair.
I left adequate room in the front, adequate room in the back. I have parking equity. That's what I have.
Here I am on the Thursday side.
You're right. He pulls out the bumper bully just to make sure no one's going to get no dings today,
dude,
boys.
It's dangerous parking in this city, man. You know that. And I'm not...
Well, stay out of it then. You're the one that's coming into the city.
I had an appointment. I had a lunch.
No.
He wants to hang out with us. I respect that.
I respect that.
You want to run as far away as possible. As quick as possible.
It was an expensive lunch yesterday, too.
Look at you.
Well, you're not really running. You can't really...
You're right. It's hopping.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go to the phones. What do you say?
I like it.
Let's say hi to Ira. He's in Staten Island. He's up here on 98.7 ESPN. Ira, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning again. Welcome back, and hopefully Dave's life has an easy deal today. I want to ask both of you questions. sort of Beckham thing's done, and I'm kind of glad that they didn't get him. But to me, and Dave hit it on yesterday, it really was a luxury when you look at it, because I think the receiving core right now is pretty good. But I tell you, I'm okay with Corey Davis back. You know, with they got the money, $10 million, whatever it is. If the guy can stay healthy as a third receiver or fourth receiver, I think he's more than adequate and enough to fill the bill. But if they do want to move on from Davis, do you make a play for Hopkins? Do you make a play for maybe a Jerry Jeudy or somebody out there? Or do you just draft somebody and just get rid of Davis and save the money?
I don't even think it's a slam dunk, Ira, that Davis is gone. You know, with the way things have unfolded, I mean, now he could be.
It's over $11 million on your cap.
Right. Now, are they going to be gung-ho that they need that type of money? I think they have enough right now to be able to sign their draft choices, which is all they concern themselves with. Now, you always need to leave yourself a little bit of flexibility because, you know, you don't know what's going to crop up. But do I think that they're going to look to bring in a weapon in this draft? Absolutely. Whether it's a receiver, a tight end, they will draft somebody for sure.
Right. But, I mean, I think the attractive part of Odell Beckham Jr. was it was going to be a one-year commitment. It was a prove-it deal. I mean, the two want to play together. He wanted to play with Aaron Rodgers and vice versa. And on top of that, I mean, at his best, and again, I don't know what his best is going to look like now after having, you know, a second ACL surgery in the same knee.
Very risky.
Right, very risky. But, I mean, Corey Davis at $11.2 million or Odell at $15. Give me Odell at $15.
Sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm positive.
Here's the thing, though. Any of these wide receivers that are on the team, new to the team, holdovers, you're going to have a real quarterback now. You haven't had one of these guys in the last few years, right? So I think everybody's production, like we were talking about it during the break, think about what the tight ends are going to be like for this team this year. Tyler Conklin, who's got the athleticism, want to see him with a quarterback who can get him the ball. I think C.J. Uzomah is going to get a hell of a lot more targets in the passing game. Let's not forget 2021 when the Bengals went to the Super Bowl and Uzomah had Joe Burrow there. Guy had a career year when it came to receiving. Then he comes to the Jets. They try four different quarterbacks, and he barely sees the ball. Everybody's production is going to have an uptick, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. But, I mean, there's a lot of mouths to feed.
I mean, there's only one ball.
Right, only one ball. I think that was part of the concern for a lot of people with Odell, is if he wasn't getting the ball, how would he react to that? But, like, to Ira's point about trading for Hopkins or for Jerry Jeudy, those guys, listen, Jerry Jeudy is a good wide receiver. But yeah, the chance to sign Odell for just money, as opposed to trading draft picks now.
The Ravens, I mean, I'm shocked. You know, on Easter Sunday, when you talk about, you know, the miracles of Easter Sunday, I think Odell getting 15, as much as 18 from the Baltimore Ravens is right up there with anything else that happened on Easter Sunday, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I don't think 15 is crazy. I honestly don't think
15
is crazy.
For a guy who's barely played in 2 years?
Right, look at how much Robert Woods got coming off an ACL. He got what, 14?
But this guy, for the last couple of seasons, has barely seen the field.
Right. I mean, because he's coming off another ACL.
And his age.
He's 30.
You know what? That's a hell of a lot of cheese. More than I would have been willing to ante up. No, I know it's not my money,
but again. I would say this, though. You're all in.
It's your caps money.
Okay, but you're all in. You can create cap space. You're all in. Are we all in or not? You tell me.
Yeah, you're all in.
Okay, so, I mean, yeah, it's a luxury, but is it a luxury you'd like to have? Especially if you end up having one of your wide receivers get hurt.
But I think you could have been all in with the guys you have now, and you're still maybe not even looking at a finished product.
Okay, but I'll ask you, RJ, everybody, turn on your microphones. We're not doing the everyone's silent deal like
Kumbaya,
we did last
everybody
week.
Talk.
Corey Davis at $11.2 million or Odell at $15. 1 year deals. Tell me.
I would take Odell at $15.
Santiago.
You're assuming Odell is good, so you would take him.
Thank you.
Can I get dead cap money on Corey Davis?
If you cut him?
Yeah, that's what I need.
Yeah, well, if you cut him, you're going to save
Corey
yourself.
Corey Davis!
His dead cap's only $666,000.
That's all it is?
That's it.
Contract of Corey Davis.
As opposed
Davis.
To 11 point, almost $2 million cap it.
By the way, I'm a big fan of the Corey Davis song. I like that.
So you're saving yourself $10.5 million by cutting him?
You know what I find comical, though? That people seem to think that Lamar Jackson's situation is now going to be resolved in Baltimore just because Odell Beckham signed there.
No.
Like, come on, people.
I mean, I think...
Like how naive
well, no,
can some
I think
people
the concern
be?
Is... No, I think the concern is maybe not long-term it gets done, but, I mean, does he show up?
Like, Odell Beckham only went to the Ravens because they blew him out of the water with a contract. So if he went, if the Jets would have done that, you mean to tell me that Lamar Jackson would have felt any differently about his situation in Baltimore? Like, Odell did what was best for Odell, just like Lamar Jackson's going to do what's best for Lamar Jackson and what Calais Campbell did for himself bypassing a visit that he had scheduled to the Jets when he signed with the Falcons.
Yeah, but Calais Campbell is done. Calais Campbell's not looking for another deal. Odell's going to look for another deal. I don't know if I was advising Odell that with the uncertainty in Lamar Jackson, if that was the right decision. If the Jets were at 12. Say the Jets were at 12 with incentives to get to 15. Right? I mean, I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be here. You're going to have one of the better teams in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what else are you looking for?
Well, you have a feeling if with the way the Jets and Aaron Rodgers were operating, I mean, some of the other names that were becoming the guys that became Jets, you have, you wonder if he had gone to them, Joe Douglas, whomever, and said, listen, I'm going to be there. I will work my contract around whatever it takes. That it would have gotten done.
Yeah, unless there's been conflicting reports, unless we're now doing the whole, because you hear the names, it was Calais Campbell, it was Fletcher Cox, it's all these, you know, veteran guys trying to chase maybe, you know, this super team trying to chase a championship. If it's, you know, we can't pay you what you want, but you're going to have the opportunity to play on the super team.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying he would have went all Tom Brady and, you know, make mid-20s in terms of his salary, his cap hit.
Yeah, but his cap hit's not crazy anyway.
Right, that's what I mean. So, it could have worked. It could have worked.
And at the end of the day, guys still want to, especially older players. And I put Odell in this category because we don't know how much time he has left in the league, especially like if the injuries are going to continue to rear their ugly head. These guys are going to try to get one big payday before it's all done. You're not getting that money elsewhere. Right? It's the same thing with Fletcher Cox. Fletcher Cox, you know what? Get your contract. Calais Campbell, get your contract. You don't know how much longer you have in this game.
Yeah, but I don't think Odell's in that same category. Odell's using this 1 year to try to get himself another, like, one more big deal.
Isn't that what last year was with the Rams?
Well, yeah, but then he got hurt.
And then he got hurt.
So? Yeah. I get it, man. I mean, I understand it, but, I mean, see, that's the other thing that would drive me crazy if I'm Lamar Jackson. Like, the Roquan Smith thing, yeah, like, that would piss me off a little bit. Like, guy, you just traded for him, you give him whatever he wants. We've had 2 years to get my deal done. We haven't got it done. And then you give me all these injury concern stuff, and then you go out and give Odell 15 guaranteed, coming off another ACL. Didn't play in a whole year. And you blow him away with a contract. Right?
The problem is it's very un-Raven-like. This ain't how the Ravens do business. Like, the Ravens just don't throw a bunch of money. They don't overbid, and that's how Joe Douglas does it. You know, you have a value on a player, you set the value, and then take it or leave it. That's how that's how Baltimore does business. That's why I was shocked.
Well, unless they're trying to entice Lamar to at least, if they're not going to get a long-term deal done, don't sit out.
Yeah, but not for nothing. You know what you look at if you're Lamar? Look at the history. Look at the history of the organization and just how they've operated. You know, this team gets it. They're there every single year in the conversation. It's a winning organization. Talking about Baltimore, that is.
Yeah, right. But, I mean, you're also in a new leadership here. Are they not? I mean, as much respect as you have for them, I mean, wouldn't this be something that you would have got done like...
They still made the playoffs last year with Tyler Huntley.
Okay, but, I mean, look at Lamar's first 3 years. Look at his first 3 years. So now you have the opportunity to extend him after that third year, just like Cincinnati's going to do and the Chargers are going to do. It's only going to get more expensive, you know that. So now, why not get it done then? Like, what are you waiting for? To put yourself in this spot. Right? I mean, that's not good business.
Well, there's a lot to this story. We know that.
And there's got to be more that we don't know.
Or exactly.
There has to be.
And remember, they know the player better than anybody else does. So maybe the book will be written one day and we find out
30
why.
For 30. We'll find out.
30 for 30, 80 for 80, whatever it is.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
You know, we talked about the Jets here. Giants as far as the Mel Kiper mock. With the 25th pick, he has Giants going defense. DJ Turner, the corner from Michigan. Now, that's a contrast to what Mel had in his previous mocks where he had the Giants going wide out. And look, I don't think it would hurt the Giants either way. If you're asking me, I think those two positions, in no particular order, wide receiver, corner, I still think you could add another linebacker to the conversation. As far as like areas of need for this football team would be. Me, personally speaking, I wouldn't really have an issue either way if they go wide receiver or corner. Because wide receiver, you're helping your investment, which would be, of course, your quarterback, and trying to ensure that you get the best production out of him, given everything that you're investing in him financially. And on the other side of things, you know that they're a little bit thin in the secondary, and you can never have enough corners, especially for a defensive coordinator that likes to blitz as much as Wink does.
Right, and you saw the impact now. Listen, I mean, Sauce Gardner is, I mean, he's special. Right, I mean, the second he stepped on the field. I mean, even going back to when they drafted him in Robert Saleh's reaction to getting him at 4. Like, everyone understood that he was going to step on the field and make an impact. I mean, the kind of impact he made, right, where all of a sudden he's now in the conversation as one of the best corners in football. Probably not. But we, you know, as Jets fans, we reap the rewards. But, I mean, this is definitely, especially in today's NFL, the way that Wink wants to play, like, that is a position of need for them, is corner. And, you know, when you look at mocks, I mean, the mock, and who knows how the hell this is going to work its way out. But, I mean, this draft is supposed to be strong at that position, so that also makes sense. And on top of that, some of the wide receivers that you've heard about, the Addisons, the Flowers, are already gone in the mock. But, I mean, both of those, I mean, they've done a good job with the wide receiver room. There's more depth, but they still need a number one wide receiver.
Need another
they don't
guy.
Have.
Tremendously, they need another guy.
Right.
I mean, it goes without saying. You can't, because essentially when you look at the Giants, okay, and the Jamison Crowders, the Paris Campbells aside, you can't just be expected to run it back with this current cast of characters at wide receiver. You know, and that's just assuming that Sterling Shepard is going to stay healthy, that Wandale Robinson is healthy because he didn't see much of him as a rookie last year. Now, maybe to them, they feel that they've satisfied that need with the Darren Waller trade. And I think Waller's going to be huge. I think he's the favorite target of Daniel Jones when it's all said and done. I really and truly do. If he could stay on the field, he's going to see more targets than any pass catcher for the Giants this year, I think. But it doesn't hurt to have another guy.
Well, no. I mean, what you're talking about is turning yourself into the Baltimore Ravens.
Correct.
Where their number one target is Mark Andrews. Like, you see what the Ravens are trying to do. I mean, you still need that number one guy. And would you like somebody that's, you know, maybe of the, you know, bigger variety? Yeah, and this is why you've heard the Giants mentioned with Denver for Jerry Jeudy, or, I mean, Dave flying out to San Francisco to try to kidnap Brandon Ayuk, or even DeAndre Hopkins. Like, I mean, it's Joe Shane has invested a ton of money into Daniel Jones, and Daniel Jones had a good season, but he's getting paid
a lot of money,
great money. So you're going to want to see that production, you know, get better. And what helps that is getting some weapons around him, especially a number one kind of wide receiver, which they don't currently have on the roster. They got a couple good guys. I mean, listen, Isaiah Hodges had a good season. Unfortunately for Wandale Robinson, you know, he had a kind of his breakout game and ends up getting hurt. Sterling Shepard's coming back from another injury. Paris Campbell, yeah, he's fast. But again, you don't have that.
They're mighty mites.
Right, you don't have that go-to guy.
You know, Jamison Crowder, I don't even know if Jamison Crowder's on this roster. He's a great guy, really super guy. You know, he was the Jets' leading receiver on those bad Jets teams that he was on in, you know, 1920 or whatever. But, you know,
he's reliable.
But he also, right, at this stage of his career, injuries now playing a factor. I don't even know what he has left, to be honest with you. He didn't do anything for Buffalo last year.
No, but he's one of those guys. Like, I mean,
he's a slot receiver.
Right, he's a slot receiver, but he's like, you hear this all the time from quarterbacks. Like, I mean, what I want to know that the play that's called, he's going to be where he needs to be, when he needs to be there. And Jamison Crowder is kind of that guy that is a quarterback you feel good about.
Second-round choices here, real quick, because he did the two-round mock. He still has the Jets with those two second-rounders, even though that they're not going to have both of them, of course, because one of them is probably going to be going to Green Bay. 42nd, which was the pick they got for the Elijah Moore trade from Cleveland. Luke Musgrave, a tight end from Oregon State. We talked about the tight end room, how it's crowded already, and they like Jeremy Ruckert a lot, too, who was a draft pick last year, of course, from Ohio State. He's now has a full offseason to, you know, get into football because he was rehabbing a foot injury. They expect a lot more production from him. And then that 43rd pick, they have Joe Tippmann, center from Wisconsin, because, you know, he's one of the top couple of centers in the in this draft alongside John Michael Schmitz out of Minnesota. They don't have a center right now. Now, we don't know how the depth chart is going to look like by draft day. Remember, Ben Jones is a guy who's still out there, but injuries wrecked his season last year from the Tennessee Titans, and that's why they parted ways with him. Do they have a center by draft night? That'll change the way the board looks, certainly when you're looking into that second round.
Right, and maybe that's why they haven't pulled the trigger yet on someone like Ben Jones.
Now, what's interesting, though, is on this mock, speaking of centers,
yes,
Giants at 57, he also has them taking a center, but he has them taking John Michael Schmitz, the one from Minnesota. Now, a lot of people even have Schmitz higher than Tippmann, and Schmitz had an unbelievable week at the Senior Bowl down in Mobile, but that would be something if both teams take a center in the second round.
Well, yeah, it's an important position, though. I love how we pretend. Like, I mean, you watch what... Now, I mean, Jason Kelce is going to be a Hall of Famer, but, I mean, it's when you have one, you talk about how important it is, and when you don't, you try to underplay how important it is.
Oh, it's the anchor.
Right, for both of these teams. I mean, my concern with the Jets would be, like, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, do you put him with the rookie center? You know, I mean, it's, again, a year in a year, let's be all in, we're trying to win a championship, there's going to be some growing pains, is that something that you want to do, or, you know, do you fill that position with a veteran guy?
Well, when Favre was here, they had a third-year center in Nick Mangold. But you're, I mean, look, we saw the Jets with or without Nick Mangold for as long as he was on the team. Huge difference. You know, when Bill Parcells came along, to me, the most, you know, aside from maybe Curtis Martin, who he brought along, the other biggest move that he ever made was signing Kevin Mawai as a free agent from the Seattle Seahawks, and he became a Hall of Famer. You know, changed the offensive line and the offense completely. Change the center position completely.
Right. I mean, do you want, I mean, is that something that Aaron Rodgers wants to deal with? Like, if you had a couple years, yeah, like, listen, maybe. I mean, if Aaron Rodgers was committed to being here a couple years, yeah, you got a young kid, and, you know, I can kind of mold him into what I want. We're seeing things the same way. I can work with him. But, I mean, it could be 1 year. Is there enough time for that?
How about this? Do you think there's any logic, and I don't know, put two and two together, the reason that Mel has the Jets taking Joe Tippmann
is because Green Bay is going to get that 42nd pick?
No, because Joe Tippmann went to school where?
Oh. I see what you did there.
I'm trying to, you know, put two and two together. Now, I don't know how much time Aaron Rodgers is watching games on Saturday. I would like to think that, you know, he's getting ready for his game the next day or traveling or vice versa. But Joe Tippmann was a guy who played in his backyard for the last however many years. Just saying.
Right, I see what you're saying.
Just saying.
I see what you're saying, but I would go back to Aaron Rodgers' year, maybe two. Like, is he going to want to deal with the growing pains as opposed to Ben Jones, who's actually, I mean, he's already established himself. I know he's dealt with the injury and stuff, but he does have the familiarity with the coaching staff from Tennessee, right?
Correct.
So, I listen to... Joe Douglas does a really good job of, I mean, last year's draft was one of the great drafts you'll ever see, but of finding a way to make sure that when he gets into the draft that he's not reaching. Like, he has the flexibility to work the board the way he wants to do it. And I'm sure these are conversations that they're having. Like, I'm sure this is a conversation that I would hope they would have with Aaron Rodgers leading up to this point.
Let's say hi to Corey in Greenwich, and then we'll get to our CMT here. Corey, good morning. How are you?
Hi, guys.
What's up, Corey?
Hey, DeAndre Hopkins, the next landing spot. Where do you think he will go, or do you think he has a preference? Do you think the Giants will maybe take a flyer on him, or the Patriots better landing spot? What do you guys think? Thank you, guys.
I've heard the Patriots a couple different times. The Patriots have to upgrade. I mean, they brought in Juju Smith-Schuster. The other question with them is, what the hell's happening with Mac Jones?
Right,
with all the reports that you keep reading.
Let me ask you a question right now, gun to your head.
Yeah.
On, what is this, April 11th? Week one starting quarterback for the Patriots, is it Mac Jones?
Who?
I don't know if they know the answer to that question.
Yeah, but I don't understand. Like, my biggest problem with some of the stories I'm reading about that is, like, I mean, where did you want Mac Jones to go? Like, to.
In terms of what?
Like, airing.
Like, I mean, airing the dirty laundry stuff?
Right, like, you got to talk to somebody.
Right.
I mean, Bill Belichick's telling you this is a great idea. And Robert Kraft wasn't, I mean, I don't think Robert Kraft was probably ever sold on it. And you can tell, like, I mean, isn't happy with how it turned out. But the kid had a good rookie year. They make the playoffs with, and I know he's not a good head coach, but one of the better offensive coordinators in the game, in Josh McDaniels. And then you saddle him with Matt Patricia and Joe Judge?
That was peculiar.
And what did you want him to do? Like, I mean, not for nothing, this is great.
Robert Kraft is getting counsel from freaking Meek Mill. Right. So does that upset Bill Belichick? Like, think about it. Like, what is going to annoy Bill Belichick more? That Mac Jones is going back to his college coaches to try to get a little bit of an understanding as to why he's struggling? Or his boss is seeking input on football-related decisions from Meek freaking Mill? What do you think would bother Bill Belichick more?
Apparently, Mac Jones. He's a big Meek Mill guy.
But the reality is, Jets are going to get Aaron Rodgers, and unless the Patriots wave our magic wand, every so-called prognosticator, when we're lining up the AFCs before the division starts, they're going to have the Patriots in last place.
Of course. Yeah.
In last place. And even remember, going into last year, for those that wanted to believe it, they were the least talented team on paper in the division. It wasn't even close. Even though the Jets finished in last, right? Did they finish in last or third? I don't even remember. Doesn't matter.
We won 7 games. Yeah.
So did the Patriots, though, too, right? Wasn't it even?
7 games.
Let me see. Yeah, Jets finished 7. Patriots were 8-9. Big deal. Same thing. Meek Mill.
Listen, I mean, I think part of that whole thing, too, though, was, I mean, you have Devin McCourty come out, who was on the team, talking about how half the team wanted Bailey Zappi. Like, how quickly it can turn. Right? I mean, you go back to that draft. I mean, Mac Jones had the better, I mean, even Trevor Lawrence was in a, I mean, awful situation. But, I mean, of the quarterbacks drafted in that draft, Mac Jones had the best year. To now, he's lost the confidence of his own building.
Is the bloom off the Belichick rose a little bit here?
A little bit.
Right? I mean, because it's been not one, not two, but 3 years. Okay, in 2020, he didn't win with Cam Newton. Because remember, up until then, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is, Belichick can win with
Cam
him.
Cam got hurt, though, too.
He was shot. Right. He was shot. He was completely shot, but he didn't win with him, okay? Then you're right, 2021, they had a return to form, even though they got annihilated in the playoff game, all right? But they still got there, and then last year was another disaster. And all the coaching questions and the conundrums there, like you said, installing guys to run your offense that have no idea what the hell they're doing, like the Keystone Cops. And now you go into this season, and now we're already starting to talk about where the Patriots going to be in the next couple of weeks in an AFC East that doesn't seem to include them in terms of the hierarchy.
Right, which is, I mean, again, it's nice for us because we've been tormented by the Patriots for so long, but it's just not something you would expect from Bill Belichick. You asked me the question earlier in the show, why all these teams reach for the quarterbacks. I mean, Mel's got 4 going to the top 4 picks for this reason. Because once you find one, like Andy Reid getting Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid is now set. Set.
He's the whisper.
Well, he's got no worries now.
Remember all the quarterbacks he won with in Philadelphia when McNabb was hurt? Like the, what was it, A.J. Feely? Was it Coy Detmer? Right? Ray knows these guys because they beat the Cowboys probably a couple times.
There was Ty, there was Coy. Yeah.
Coy Detmer, A.J. Feely.
That's another one.
All those guys, yeah.
Why do you say nasty Jeff things Garcia to Raymond like that? Well, why do you say nasty
stuff? No, because it was a frequency thing because they were in the same division.
Yeah,
they played
I know, but
twice
I'm trying to get Raymond more involved with the show when you're taking shots at him now.
You don't think he's involved in the show?
No.
I think he's very involved.
But the drops, I like the voice.
We love his voice.
He's got a sexy voice.
So I asked him a question. The voice is then going to come out on the air. That's involvement.
Yeah, but you're trying to get I don't want nasty Raymond today because nasty
Who
Raymond
cares?
Is right, scares me.
At what point did I not say that he stunk?
Like yesterday was
really,
bad.
Really? I feel like that's your goal.
No,
feel,
not mine. Like it's Dave's goal. Nasty. No, like yesterday, Dave's like, RJ, did you ask the question or Dave asked the question about who would kick off the show?
Oh, Dave asked me and then I asked him and he answered immediately.
Immediately. He had a list in his head already.
He didn't even finish the question.
Right.
Really?
Like, it wasn't like, oh, that's a tough question. And then give the reasoning. It was Raymond.
Just like that.
Right away.
And again, he's the quote unquote honesty broker, so you know I get it. But
so two of you guys like hanging off, or two people like hanging off a cliff. I can only save one.
You got to fire any one of us on the show.
Why fire Ray?
Get rid of Ray.
Didn't even think about it.
Yeah, he's also done like let's do a list of how do you guys want to? You guys want to play a game? Yeah, we'll play a game, Dave. Who's the dumbest in the show? Ooh, that's a tough. I'll go first, Raymond. That's how we did it.
How do you feel about that, buddy?
I think I've expressed how I feel. I'm annoyed by it. That's all I could say. Listen, this is what Dave Rothenberg is. I just kind of
accept
it. Oh,
man, the biggest threat to the Jets.
I just go about my day as best I can. That's all I can do.
I don't think the show works without any of us.
No, it's a unit.
That's it's like a table. It's like a table has like four legs to the table. One of them falls. Forget it.
You think Dave? You think he sees it that way though?
No, definitely not.
But no, the four legs of the table are in constant conflict with each other.
No, but I think Dave views himself as he is the actual table, like the flat portion that you put here, right? And we are just the other.
Yeah, we're holding him up. Yeah.
I'm a hero.
We're just here. We're replaceable.
We're here to service you.
Replaceable entities. All right.
I go away, this show dies.
Uh-oh. Well, you don't want that to happen, of course. You want it to live long and prosper.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.